Inside Agriculture, brought to you from the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, right here on Ag News 890, Lisbon, Fargo, 910, Classic Country, KCJB in Minot, as well as Farm and Country, Thunder 106.1, also Lisbon and Fargo, North Dakota. While Japan and Vietnam are pressing the U.S. to pass the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. Now, despite an uphill political climb in Washington, the deck seems stacked against TPP action in Congress this year. But that hasn't stopped key U.S. trading partners, Japan and Vietnam, from urging ratification. American Farm Bureau Trade Advisor Dave Salmonson on whether the foreign pressure will change the election year dynamic here.
I think those statements from both Japan and Vietnam do have weight here in Washington and with Congress for both economic and strategic reasons. Of course, they're especially Japan, such a large economy, and so much of the TPP gains that we see.
Especially for U.S. pork, expected to see huge benefits in Japan from TPP. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe recently urged his parliament to urgently ratify TPP and press for U.S. ratification at the recent G20 summit in China. Vietnam's planning and investment minister predicted at an event here last week that President Obama and the U.S. Congress would soon ratify TPP. Salmonson.
You're a smaller country. Trade is tough. Trade's competitive. And you want that kind of preferential access that a trade agreement brings in order to move your products now or develop new industries in your country.
Obama said after the G20 summit that the U.S. has never had a smooth, uncontroversial path to passing trade deals, but they eventually get done. Obama claims he can still win congressional TPP approval before he leaves office and warns failing to do so could sacrifice U.S. leadership in the Asia-Pacific region, and they could lose it to China. Well, we're going to take a break here. However, when we come back, we're going to talk about that soybean crop out there in the field. And it says it is huge. In fact, record-breaking in a couple of fronts. We'll talk about that when we come back. Also on the news, we're going to talk about maybe getting the farm bill done early. No, that's not going to happen. Got to remember that we're working with the U.S. Congress. Is that going to happen? Not so much so quick. But we'll talk about that coming up right after this. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture on this Monday morning. While the soybean crop in the United States is big, record-breaking, in fact, on two fronts, the 50.6 bushel to the acre national average yield is the largest ever, and it will consequently produce a record-breaking 4,201,000,000 bushels of beans. Now, this staggering number makes USDA's August guess at the size of the crop look meager. It was 1.7 bushels to the acre less, and when the September number was released, the trade collectively gasped and turned its hopes to the consumption part of the USDA supply and demand table. Now, they were most definitely surprised that, according to University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good.
I think the market was really looking perhaps for an unchanged to smaller yield forecast, so kind of caught leaning the wrong direction. At this juncture, we're looking at a crop over 4 billion bushels, and the good news is the projections of consumption remain pretty high, so USDA is not expecting a huge buildup in inventories of soybeans this year, and still think that we could average around $9 a bushel for the marketing year, pretty close to what we did last year, even with a larger crop.
Now, the market's trying to digest all of this bearish news, while at the same moment turning its attention southward. Brazilian and Argentinian farmers are just beginning to sow their summer crops, which brings us to marketing the big soybean crop in the United States. Floods in Argentina earlier this year decimated its soybean crop. U.S. farmers benefited as importers turned to them to provide their soybean needs. Back in June, it was thought the United States would have 370 million bushels left over from last year's crop when September arrived. Now, the rains, the harvest time floods in South America changed everything, and importers gobbled up U.S. soybeans, leaving just 195 million bushels available. It tells Darrell Good now is a better time to sell soybeans rather than later.
You know, I think so, particularly on soybeans. If you can get an early harvest, we're seeing some decent basis levels on beans right now. We're coming off of a period when spot soybean prices in central Illinois were running well above November futures, 20, 30 cents above. That's began to erode, but we're still looking at prices pretty close to option value. It says to me that with big yields and that kind of price, well over $9, that revenue looks pretty good by selling some soybeans at least, if not a majority of soybeans, right out of the field.
The sooner the better, and the higher the quick ship premium, although those are likely to disappear quickly. Well, should the farm crisis continue or even worsen? There are some in Washington, D.C., who say it may be necessary to do a farm bill a year early, with a regular deadline for new farm bills set for September of 2018. House Ag Committee Ranking Member Colin Peterson said it's something that may have to happen. Peterson said if there's a real crisis this winter with farmers unable to get financing and bankers up in arms, does it make sense to do a Band-Aid or admit that the safety net in the 2014 Farm Bill is inadequate and try to fix it? He said it depends on how bad things actually get. While Peterson readies for the worst, other farm state lawmakers are hoping the safety net program in the 2014 Farm Bill can help carry producers through low prices, soaring production domestically and abroad, and weak global demand. Politico's Morning Agriculture Report said interviews with key lawmakers showed skepticism about even getting the 2018 bill done on time, as the last one took an extra year to get approved. Also, soybean planting in Brazil starts the 15th of September, but the AgriMoney.com website said it's starting this year under pressure from prices, tight credit, and dry weather. There's a few worries about the quality of available seeds as well. Crops are not actually allowed in fields before the 15th of September as the country tries to cut down on the chance of disease and pest pressures. Well, we'll take another break here. And when we come back, we'll talk livestock next. Farm and Banking Group spoke with congressional appropriators this past week about using upcoming appropriation bills to give authority and funding for Farm Service Agency loans to farmers. Now, the Hagstrom Report said the 15 farm and banking groups feel a continuing resolution should be used to solve short-term funding issues, while the upcoming omnibus appropriations bill could be used to help clear up a backlog of funding requests from fiscal year 2016. The appropriations bill could also be used to prepare for the expected rise in the number of loan applications next year because of the economic downturn in agriculture. We realize time is short, and the demands on appropriators are many, but there's a crisis in farm country. That, according to Ferd Hoppner, policy director for the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition. He said it should be easily fixed by giving FSA increased flexibility in the short term and a moderate increase in funding in the medium term to allow the agency to meet the growing credit demands from farmers. It'll also allow the FSA to continue focusing on the needs of the next generation of agriculture as well. While the Senate overwhelmingly approved the Water Resources Development Act last week by a 95-3 vote, AgriPulse said the bill will pay for waterway improvement projects in 30 states, as well as projects to improve delivery systems for drinking water. The bill also includes an exemption for some farmers with above-ground fuel storage tanks from EPA requirements to prepare spill control plans. Nebraska Republican Deb Fischer inserted the storage tank provision in the bill to give farmers some relief from the EPA spill prevention control and countermeasures requirements. Fuel storage tanks of 1,000 gallons or less, or an aggregate capacity of not more than 2,000 gallons, would be exempt from the rules. Containers that hold animal feed ingredients would also be exempt. Fisher said most agricultural producers live miles away from the nearest source of fuel, so they have to rely on on-farm fuel storage to have access to the fuel when they need it. This ensures that they can maintain their on-farm storage and bring reasonable exemptions for small and medium-sized farms as well as livestock producers. Well, when it comes to livestock, let's take a look at what's going on as far as livestock is concerned. Breeders across the country will host production sales, and interested buyers will line the stands looking for genetics to improve their herds. Now, for anyone who's selling cattle this fall, it's important to plan ahead when marketing your lots. American Angus Association Regional Manager Casey Gents explains how that works.
It's an exciting time in the Angus business, the fall sales season. My territory, and as well as a lot of other people's territories, the females are marketed primarily in the fall. It's an exciting time to see the new genetics. The calves are just being weaned and some of them marketed, as well as bred females, cows. You know, a chance to rebuild your herd or start into some new genetics if that's what you're looking to do.
Registered Angus genetics will be marketed through bull and female sales throughout the country. And Gents offers this advice for breeders who are planning their sales.
For Angus producers who are marketing their cattle this fall, being prepared is probably one of the best things you can do, whether that's making sure your cattle are registered, getting the EPDs turned in, whether it's birth weights, weaning weights, as well as getting the genomics turned in. As a general rule, 4 to 6 weeks out from when you want to have the results, you should be turning those in. So you can use them from an advertising standpoint to help promote your program and your sale.
Now, you can visit Angus.org for a list of upcoming Angus sales in your area, or for more information on programs and services offered by the American Angus Association. We'll take a break here, and when we come back, farm equipment sales. Well, we know the four-wheel drives and combines aren't moving, but it looks good for under 100-horsepower tractors. That's up next. Well, as we wrap up what's going on inside agriculture on this Monday morning, retail sales of tractors under 40 horsepower and between 40 and 100 horsepower rebounded in August. However, sales of larger tractors and combines continued their double-digit declines in the newest data available from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. U.S. retail sales for two-wheel drive tractors under 40 horsepower gained 21% in August and are 11% higher on the year to date. August four-wheel drive tractor sales declined 48% year over year, and combine sales declined 22% for August. Growth in the under 40 horsepower segment was strong during August, and farm tractors in the 40 to 100 horsepower range reversed a lower recent monthly trend. That according to Charlie O'Brien, AEM Senior Vice President. He said the over 100 horsepower two- and four-wheel drive tractors are underperforming their five-year average. Earlier in the year, we felt the market was stabilizing, according to O'Brien. As we passed the middle of 2016, we continue to see smaller equipment sales thriving, and the larger equipment sales remain depressed. Well, it looks like we're going to wrap up what's going on inside agriculture on this Monday. We do have more information to pass along. But the fact is, we're running out of time for the program, and we appreciate all our listeners on 910 Classic Country, KCJB in Minot, as well as Ag News 890 and Farm News in Real Country, Thunder 106.1 in Lisbon and Fargo. That's Inside Agriculture. I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis.